Ruin it. I was asked to speak about Mashiach, and actually there is a fascinating explanation of Rus, of Megillas Rus, explaining the themes of Mashiach in Megillas Rus. And I'd like to just tell you who wrote this and when he lived, which might explain to us motives, the way he's explaining, etc. This is written by Rabbi Avraham of Bartinura, who is famous for his commentary on the Mishnah. He lived originally in Italy. He lived in Italy about 500 years ago, and eventually he emigrated to Eretz Israel. And his commentary on the Mishnah, he started in Italy, he finished it when he was in Eretz Israel, and that's where he passed away and he's buried in Eretz Israel. So he's very well known, Rav Avadia of Bartinura. It was a surprise to me how he writes a little bit in the way of the Kabbalah. I know him more from the Mishnah. Well, I just want to give you a little bit of history.
Could you repeat his name?
Rabbi Avadia of Bartinura. There's a town in Italy called Bartinura. And so I dug up from, there's a history, a volume called Seder HaDoros, which goes through the generations, remarkable events throughout history. And it tells me that Rabbi Avadia Bartinura passed away 5,290, which if now is 5,769. In other words, in 21 years, it will be 500 years from his passing. So 500 years ago, he was, during his prime. And what I see 30 years before his passing, I read the following. There was a fellow called Reb Lemelin who was telling everyone that Mashiach is coming. This was in the year 5,260. And all over in the Jewish communities, they believed him, and they were even amongst the nations also, they were hearing about this, and it was lots of publicity, and a lot of people believed him. My master, Reb Zeligman Ganz, he destroyed his special Pesach oven, which was made for baking matzahs. He was absolutely confident that next year we'll bake matzahs in Eretz Israel. I heard from my teacher, my older teacher, Rabbi Eliezer of Troyes, who was the Rav in Frankfurt, that he said there was the significance to all of this. Because he showed miracles to prove his authenticity. Possibly it was the sins of the generation which obstructed, and he was prevented from carrying through the Geula, the redemption. Then he brings from another source that in the year 5,260, there was a Jew who arose in the area of Austria. His name was Reb Lemelin, the Ashkenazi of Germany, and he proclaimed himself as a prophet. And he was telling everyone to fast and to repent, each from their evil ways, with all their might, because the redemption is imminent, salvation is imminent. And in all the regions of Italy, they believed him, and they repented with all their might, almost like the repentance of the city of Nineveh. It was something amazing. This man then passed away. Moshiach did not arrive. And as a result, unfortunately, there were many people who defected from the Jewish faith, because these fools, having seen that Moshiach did not come, so then they went and converted. That year, the year Reish Samech, is known as the year of Tshuva.
Excuse me, what did you say about his name also?
His name was Reb Lemelin. Now this, so if you get the picture, this is 30 years before Reb Avadia passes away. So in his productive years, this is what he has to deal with. And it's significant to me that he writes here that it was Bechol Glilis Italia. In all the regions of Italy, they ascribed great faith to the words of this Reb Lemelin. So, having understood that background, now let's take a look at his commentary on Rus. Fascinating commentary. You've given you Chumashim. At the back of your Chumashim, you'll have Megillas Rus. I'm assuming that you know the story of Rus, but I'll still fill you in a little bit. Where you have, it's in the early period of the Jews living in Eretz Israel, and in the periods of the Judges, and there is a fellow by the name of, there's a famine in Eretz Israel, there's a prominent Jew who lived in Bethlehem. His name is Elimelech, he has two sons, Machlon and Chilion. There's a famine, and because of the famine he goes and moves across the Yarden to the land called Noyov, and his wife is Naomi, and they get married to two Moabi girls, the two boys. One gets married to Rus, the other one gets married to Orpah. Elimelech dies, and then eventually the two sons also die, and then Rus and Orpah are left with the mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law decides she's going to go back to Eretz Israel. The two daughters-in-law, one says, okay, I'll stay here, and the other one says, Rus says, no, wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. And Rus comes back with her mother-in-law to Eretz Israel. She's a foreigner, and then they don't have food, and Rus goes into the field of a certain man called Boaz, and she gathers their grain, and then he finds out who she is and gives her tremendous attention, and it says that she can, and then eventually she comes back to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law says, oh, this Boaz who was so kind to you, actually he's a relative of ours, and perhaps he'll give you more attention. Go to him by night, and in the barn, he'll be sleeping in the barn, and you go next to him in the barn. And then he wakes up in the middle of the night, and there's this woman who's right by him, and then he recognizes who it is, and he decides he wants to marry her, but she was, if you think about the concept of Yibum, of marrying a sister-in-law who was left childless to perpetuate your brother's name. So although he wasn't the brother of the deceased, but he was a relative, so the idea of marrying the widow of your deceased was a recommended thing, but there is a closer relative. And so he goes over to the, says, I can't marry you yet, because I first have to approach the closer relative. If that relative will not agree to take you, then I will be very happy to marry you. And eventually they confront the other relative, who declines for whatever reason, and we'll see presently, and then Boaz marries her, and then Rus is the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. That is, in a nutshell, the story of Rus. Alright, so now, take this, the characters, and now we're going to have a different play altogether, because the characters are actually playing different roles. That Elimelech is seen as referring to Hashem, because Keli, my God, Melech, the king. So Elimelech is the king. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Naomi means my pleasant one, refers to Bnei Yisrael. And so they are the wife of Elimelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elimelech, and Naomi is the role of Klal Yisrael. The era, Yemei Shvoit HaShoftim, right at the beginning, like Yehi B'mei Shvoit HaShoftim. It's a moment of judgment. And it's a moment of difficulty. And it's a moment that instead of the bracha, and the blessing from Hashem being given in abundance to Klal Yisrael, instead, it's being withheld. And therefore, there's Vayiro of Ba'oretz. That's why there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a natural state of events. If Eretz Yisrael, Hashem's land, there should be bracha in abundance. But because there is a prevailing a spirit of judgment and of severity, that's why there is no bracha there. So they're going to get their hashpor, to get their provision from outside Kedusha. Outside Kedusha, outside the realm of Torah and Mitzvahs, there's also energy. That energy is actually originating from Kedusha, but it somehow goes in exile. Machloin and Chilion are the two sons. And they are like the symbolizing the hashpoah which Hashem is giving into the world. And now, and the word ephrosim means fruitful, and they are bringing bracha into the world. But unfortunately, this is a time that the bracha, instead of going to where it should, to Klal Yisrael, it's being diverted to Moyo, to outside Eretz Yisrael. Who is getting the bracha? Who is marrying Machlon and Chilion? Two women. One is Orpah and one is Rus. Where does the word Orpah come from? Orif is the back of the neck. If you face someone, you're interested. If you turn your back on them, it means you're disinterested. So instead of the goodness, the energy from Hashem coming to Bnei Yisrael face to face, it's going to the Umos HaOlam, to the Goyim, and there's Orpah symbolizes the nations who turn their backs on Hashem. Rus, it comes from the word of Rove, which means plenty, Koisi Revoyo, which means plenty of troubles, plenty of suffering. Okay, so this is what is happening, that the Kedusha, the Brocha, and the energy of Hashem, the Primius, is being diverted into Eretz Moyov, into those who are turning away from Hashem. Then you have, comes in a character called Boyos. Boyos has got the words, the same letters as the word Be'ois in strength. And that is referring to Hashem also. So Elimelech refers to Hashem, who is the king. Boyaz also refers to Hashem, but as Hashem is in a state of Golus, where he's saying there will be a time Sheyimloch Be'ois. He will eventually reign supreme with might, but at the moment that is suppressed. So Elimelech is the kingdom of Hashem. Boyaz is the kingdom of Hashem, which is suppressed, and we're waiting for it to come to be revealed. And now, finally, the other characters which we have in this play, in this role play, are the Narei Boyaz, the lads who are working for Boyaz. And this is the understanding, this refers to the patron angels of the various nations, the Sorei Ha'umos, the ministers, ministering angels of the various nations. And they are in this state where the Shekhinah and the divine presence is concealed and repressed, so to speak. So then the power and the energy is in the hands of the ministers of the other nations, and they are the Narei Boyaz. Okay. Now, so then what we have here is that it's, now let's go into the events as they unfold. So it's Yimei Shvoit HaShoftim, it's a time of Golos, it's a time of suppression, and power from Hashem is being withheld from being given in a direct way. Naomi is Klal Yisrael, referring to the Jewish nation. And instead of Naomi getting her bracha from Hashem direct, Naomi is getting it from where? From Rus. Rus has to go in the field to gather some grain to feed her mother-in-law. Rus at that time was not Jewish. So it's how the Bnei Yisrael do not get their blessing and their provisions direct from Hashem. Instead they have to get it from a goyish source. Boyos, when he sees Rus in the field, so he encourages her to go and get her provisions. Tidbokim Naroisai, Naorai Naroisai, he encourages her to get her provisions through his lad, Rus being from Umos HaOlam at that time. Okay, that's the correct direction. And then let's take a look at Posuk, Perik Beis, Posuk Yud Gimel. Perik Beis, Posuk Yud Gimel. So, in Posuk Yud Aleph, Boyaz says, how wonderful, I hear how you are so devoted to your mother-in-law, and you've forsaken your mother and father in the other country, and you've come over here. May Hashem, Posuk Yud Beis, he says, may Hashem reward you that you've come now here to join Klal Yisrael. And then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, she says, "Vatoyma emtzuchein be'einecho." I hope to find favor in your eyes, my master. Ki nichamtoni, you've consoled me. V'chi dibarto alev shivchosecho, and you have spoken so soothingly on the heart of your maid. V'onoichi loyeye ke'achas shivchosecho. I'm not even worthy to be one of your maids. That is what she says to Boaz. So here, the Bartanura, he says a cute word. Eye refers to Hashem's kindness. V'onoichi loyeye, if there is not the chesed of Hashem, the kindness of Hashem, then ke'achas shivchosecho. Then I'm like any other maid, any other non-Jewish maid. Now, then we read further. He says in the next pasuk, when it comes lunchtime, in pasuk Yudalad, he says, "Come over." Boaz says to her, "La'isa oichal." The lunchtime, he says, "Goishi haloim, come over. Va'ochalt min alechem. You'll be able to eat the bread. Ve'tovalt pitech b'choymet. You can dip your bread in the vinegar." And she sat next to the harvesters, and he roasted her for some grain, and she batoichal batisba batoisa, she ate, and she was satisfied, and she had some leftovers. So he explains like this. When the bracha comes directly from Hashem, so it's sweet. Eretz zobas cholov udvash. It's a land flowing milk and honey. Here, because of the state of galus, when he does give her bread, it's bread dipped in vinegar, which is sour, which is not so pleasant. So this is all the idea, still in a state of galus.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
She was getting direct from Boaz.
But it's still, Boaz is in a state of galus. It's a shkina begalusa.
So why he dips it in vinegar?
The idea is that the bread in galus has a sour taste. Even Hashem is providing you, but symbolically it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste sweet. So then it says further, Batoichal, she ate. Batisba, and she was satisfied. Batoisa, what did she eat? She ate the bitter bread, the sour bread. And she was satisfied with the sour bread. Batoisa, she left leftovers for others. You know, this is like the turning point, saying although Yidden are in Golus, and although they are eating, drinking from the bitter cup, but they leave some leftovers, let someone else finish off the cup. And here he quotes another pasuk in Yeshaya, at this point in his Pirush. Ki yirachem Hashem es Yaakov. There will be a time when Hashem will be compassionate to Yaakov. Vochar oid b'Yisroel, and he will choose Yisroel once again. There will be the fact that Hashem, that we are his chosen people, will become visible and become clear once again. Not only that, that the forthcoming redemption will be greater than before. And therefore it says, Vochar oid b'Yisroel, that the Geula will be more so than the previous redemptions. Now listen to this. The earlier first redemption is with Moshe Rabbeinu. The significant moment is Vayehi b'chatzi halayla. The smiting of the firstborns was at midnight. Later, we have a case with Shimshon, who was a Moshiach. He was a savior of the people in his time. Shimshon Samson. So one night, it says Vayehi b'chatzi halayla. He was in Aza. In Gaza City, and he came in the middle of the night, and he lifted up the two gates on his shoulders, and he walked off with them. But even though he was so powerful, but it was Balayla, it was in the middle of the night. What's the significance of the redemptions and the salvation coming in the middle of the night? Night means there's still darkness. The salvation is a salvation, but it's not a complete one. Because even after the salvation, it's still dark. And therefore, when we talk about the salvation through Moshe Rabbeinu, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, it wasn't a full redemption. And that is symbolized the fact it was Balayla, B'chatzi Halayla, as we see again by Shimshon. As a result, We see here that the salvations which were brought about in earlier times were incomplete. They were brought about by humans, and they were incomplete. And therefore, when you look at the brachas of Yaakov in Parshas Vayechi, so he talks there about Don. He Don Nochash Ali Derech, that Don should be like a snake on the road, on the derech, shfifan ali oirach, like a serpent on the path, and he attacks the path, bypasses, and he manages, to, in other words, to destroy the enemies. This he was referring to Shimshon, because Shimshon is a descendant of Don. But Yaakov, in his vision, or his Ruach HaKodesh, he foresees that even this Shimshon will not be a complete redemption. And therefore, what does he say after that? Lishu osecho kivisi Hashem. I am hoping for your salvation, Hashem. Because I see that the Shimshon, this Don with the snake Ali Derech and everything, all of this is an incomplete story. It doesn't succeed properly. It only does a half a job. And therefore, I'm asking Lishu osecho kivisi Hashem. I want to have the redemption from you, Hashem, and not through humans, which they're not going to do a full job. Significant is, when it comes to Chizkiyahu, towards perhaps a few generations before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you have a very righteous king who was called Chizkiyahu. And he was a potential Moshiach. He was obviously a descendant of David. And he is in a state where Sancheriv, the king of Assyria, brings a phenomenal amount of armies, of troops, and they are surrounding Yerushalayim, and he's already, he was like one of those, you know, like Alexander the Great, that kind of character who went from country to country and won all the battles and conquered all over, and he you know, he came onto Yerushalayim. This was like, he had already conquered other cities in Eretz Yisrael, and they'd all fallen, and now he comes to Yerushalayim, and it was just, you know, it was a joke. He had such an enormous, he had such a power, such a massive army, if they would just all kind of drink from the Yarden, it would dry up. It was phenomenal what he had with him. And Chizkiyahu was absolutely hopeless, physically. And Chizkiyahu, gets a message. There was actually Sancheriv had a general or a spokesman whose name was Rabshakeh. And this Rabshakeh was a Jew who had become an apostate, become an apikoidus. And he stands at the wall and he starts talking to the Jewish population, Yerushalayim, and he tells them, don't be seduced by Baba Mises, by Chizkiyahu, that you'll be saved. We've wiped them all off. You ain't got no chance. And at any rate, so he gets the message and he goes in to the Beis HaMikdash, I believe, and he cries out to Hashem, and he says, you know, I can't do anything, it's up to you. And it says there that they had some 150,000 people, it says there the pasuk that they came up in the morning, v'yashkimu baboiker v'yinom kulom pogodim mason. The 150,000 were all dead bodies. So this is who brought about this salvation? Hashem. That's why it's Vayashkim Baboiker. That's why it's in the morning. A salvation from Hashem is a daytime salvation. A salvation through humans is a nighttime salvation. Even then, however, it wasn't a complete salvation. And it says there that the Malach who smote the forces of Sancheriv, he went Balayla. So although he was recognized by Yoin, but it started off Balayla. So again, it wasn't a complete salvation. So coming back to a little bit further in the story of Rus, we have how Naomi says to Rus, go by night to the barn where he is sleeping, and you should come and lie near him. And he wakes up, and v'hine isho shechebes mar geloiso. You have here in chapter Gimel, and it's Pasuk Ches. Vayi b'chatzi alaylo, vayecher adoish, the man trembles at midnight, and he kind of seizes himself. What's the significance of this? First of all, if you look at the word, this is my own word, which I'm saying now. It doesn't say here. The word margoloisov, which means, is it margoloisov? Yeah. Margolos. Margolos. That the golos is bitter. Okay? You have the word margolis, which just means a pearl, which may also be related. I haven't thought about that. But that's what he says over here, that how the gal margoloisov. What this is, that when Rus is coming to Boyos in the night, so the plea is that I don't want to have a geula balailo. And if you look over the next pasuk, vayomer miot, so Boyos says, who are you? So she says, Anochi Rus amosecho, I am your maid Rus, uforasto knofecha la mosecho. I want you to spread your garment on your maid, ki goyel oto, because you are the Redeemer. So this, the Rus coming by night to Boyos, is a plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to don't hide and come out and redeem. Boyos says in the next verse, Vayoyim abrucha ad la Hashem bethi. My daughter, blessed are you to Hashem. Your later good acts are better than your first ones. The first one referring to her loyalty to her mother-in-law. Now the fact that you've come to me, that you haven't followed the lads, whether they're poor or rich, and you've come to me. Who are the lads? They, as we said before, the angels who are the sorim, the ministers for the other nations. And the fact that the Rus now is seeking salvation, not from the other nations, but rather from Hashem himself, that is the chaste ha'achre min harishin. That's what he's saying. You did very well not to be seduced by being able to get your provisions elsewhere. You come to the right address.
When you think, I don't know the story really, but Bruce's son, the one that died, originally married out.
All right, we'll have to deal with that separately.
The Moabite, yes?
Yeah, we'll deal with that later, yeah? Because it's a
matter because she came back to...
Okay. Right. These salvations of the... But now that you did not go Acharei HaBachurim, not only does it refer to the other nations, but even not to be satisfied with salvations of Jewish leaders. For example, you have Shimshon and you have Gideon, who were leaders and they were saviors in their day. But the fact that you are not satisfied with them and you're coming to ask for the Yeshua from Hashem, the salvation from Hashem, that is very, very well, very appropriate. Then, now here's the difficult part. Then in Pasuk Yudbes, in Pasuk Yudalev, he says, everyone knows you're a wonderful woman, he says to Rus. But then he says, V'ato ki omnom ki im goyel anoichi, although I am a redeemer, v'gam yesh goyel koroiv mimeni, but there is a closer redeemer than me. There's someone closer. If you remember before, there was another relative who was a closer relative. So you have this redeemer in me, but there's another redeemer who's closer than me. What's that referring to?
It's not usually translated as redeemer, is it?
Pardon?
It's not usually translated as redeemer.
Normally we think of the relative, but he uses the word goyel, which means a redeemer.
Yeah, because it's okay. Sort of
okay, okay, okay.
On,
yeah? Absolutely. So now, Hashem says to her, so some Boyos says to her, and this is how the Baal Tanura explains. There are two forms of redemption. There's a redemption which is close by, and there's a redemption which is further on. There's a redemption which can be brought about through agitation, through aggressive acts of pushing for the Geula. And then there's a redemption which will, you'll bide your time, so to speak, and the redemption will come from Hashem. But it's telling you, the redemption, my redemption, I am a rochek. That will take longer. If you want to, there's a short term, there's a nearer redeemer, which can be brought about, but at a price. And then he says further, Lini halayla, spend a bit longer in the night of goddess. V'hoye v'boiker, im yigol chatoi v'yigol. If you can have your redemption through the toiv, through masim toivim, and you'll merit in your own merit, let that be the redemption. V'im lo yachpoitz, v'im lo yachpoitz l'goleich, if that method of being redeemed through your merit in the near term will not succeed, then ugalticha anoichi, then I will come in as the redeemer. Now, if you understand now why I told you that introduction, that what was going on in the lifetime of the writer. Okay, so this is the choice which she's given, and or not she's given. He says, I can't, in the literal sense. Boaz is saying, I can't marry you yet until we clear the situation with your closer relative. So the options are open now. A geula kroiva or geula rechoika. A geula kroiva through the aggressive efforts of the people, or a delayed geula, but through Hashem, not depending upon the merit of the people. Then it goes on. This is still in the middle of the night in the barn, yeah. And then he says to her, "Give me your kerchief," and that's in Pasuk Tesvav. Give me the betpachas, the kerchief which you have upon your head, which is upon you. And hold the kerchief. She holds the kerchief, and he measures 6 measures of barley, and he puts it into her kerchief, and then she comes home to her mother-in-law, and she says, "See how what he brought me, etc." So this is from a different Mefayrish, from the Targum. He says, what's the significance of the 6 measures of barley? This is referring to the 6 tzaddikim, which would descend from Rus. This is the bracha, which Boaz gives to her. David HaMelech, Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Azaria, and Moshiach. So you've got, again, David, which is 4 generations away. Hananya, Mishael, Azaria, which is another 50 generations later, or something like that, during the period of Nebuchadnezzar, during the times of destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, during that 70 years. And then you've got Moshiach. So these are the 6 which he was referring to in a remez. Tell me. Then we read further. Let's take a look now at chapter Dalet. So Boaz comes to the Bezdin, to the shahr, to the gate where the best is, and there, behold, the closer relative, the goyel, is passing by, and he says, come, take a seat, let's discuss this. And there's 10 people of the elders of the city, and they sat down, and then Boaz, and I'm going down to the literal thing, and then we'll go back to the drush, yeah? Boaz says to him, you know, there is this field, which our relative, Elimelech, owned this field, and this is up for sale. Naomi wants to sell it. And it should really be bought by the closest relative. It should be kept in the family. So he says, okay, I'm quite happy to buy it. So then Boaz says, hang on a minute. When you buy this, you also have to take the woman also. It's the field to perpetuate the deceased, Elimelech. You also have to marry Rus. So he says, that's what you see in Pasuk Hey, by Yom Boyos, by Yom Kadoscha Sodom Yad Naomi, you want to buy the field, or my Yes Rus HaMoyavio. So he says, Lohokim, so Koniso, Lohokim Shem HaMeis Lalach Lose. You have bought this to perpetuate the name of the deceased. So then by Yom HaGoyal, now he gets apprehensive. He says, I can't do that. Lo Yeruchal Liga. I'm not able to redeem the field. Pen ashchis es nachalosi. I'm worried I'll destroy my own estate, my own property, and therefore I decline. I step back. Ga'alucho ato es gulos. You'd redeem it. Ki lo yuchal ligol. I can't redeem. So the Goyel HaKore, the nearer redeemer, is given the option, but then sees that there's a steep price to pay. I can't pay the price. I'm worried that he'll backfire. Literally, he says, if I'll marry Ruth, I've got another wife. And I'll have two wives, and I won't be able to necessarily cope. There might be strife, etc. And therefore he says, I can't buy the field and the wife. The field I could manage, but I can't marry Ruth. And therefore, he's out of the picture, and therefore Boaz marries her, and that's the how the story continues. What's the significance of this? That there is the possibility of you have here a state, Boaz, we said is what the Shechina in the goddess state, in the repressed state, and the marriage of Ruth to Boaz would be that to bring this out, so that they should that the Shechina should be coming out of the goddess, and it should be obvious that the Shechina is in the world. So this is what it means, that the challenge to the Goyel HaKorev, if you want to get this marriage of Boaz and Ruth, that means that the Goyel HaKorev. So then what you're saying is that the human efforts will bring about a tremendous revelation of godliness in the world. The price to pay is that there may be a lot of people who are not worthy of that. Those people will not be able to be there at the Geula. Again, if the Geula is by merit, so anyone who does not merit will have to be out of the picture. Whereas if the redemption will be not due to merit, then everyone is redeemed. The worry of the closer redeemer, in a sense, I'm worried to go through the Goyel HaKorev. The apprehension here is that perhaps by doing this, there will be a lot of destruction. You're now talking on the physical level, which some say that's actually one of the Mephoshim say that his apprehension was because she was from Moyov and he didn't want to marry someone out of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, because there's a whole issue whether you're allowed to marry a Moyovist or not. That's how some Mephoshim. All right. Meanwhile, he says, I'm worried to go through this approach of the Geula Krova, the aggressive approach of pushing for the Geula in our merits, because I'm worried of the backfiring.
Is this what the Rebbe wanted?
Well, that's why I'm coming to you. Meanwhile, I'm just representing, that's why at the beginning I explained to you who this commentary is from, where he lived, and possibly the motives for his approach. Okay, so therefore, there's a similar concept, which I think is in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that he could have brought the Geula in his time, but then we would be walking up to our ankles in blood. Which means that it would charge a tremendous price, because there's not the full merit. And you're saying, so therefore, if they're not this full merit, so then there would be the need for the sacrifice, etc. At this point, the Bartanura digresses, if you could say so, to the whole, to analysis of the whole story of Ben Kuziv, of Bar Kochba. Of Bar Kochba, who was, he says he was a descendant of David HaMelech, and he could have been the Redeemer, but here he has the whole thing, how It was using our own energy, our own power, rather than having it from Hashem. It has a whole fascinating discussion. And what's also just mamish one sentence. Bar Kokhba is alluded to in Daniel. Towards the end of Daniel, Daniel is in the time between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Bar Kokhba is some 450 or 500 years later. Yeah, 50 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the second Beis HaMikdash. But in Daniel, there are clear allusions to a failed attempt of redemption through a character which fits the profile of Bar Kokhba. What's interesting is, if you look at the Pasuk Dalet Aleph, yeah, the beginning of chapter Dalet, the name of this relative, what was his name? So they say here, Shvo Ployni Almoini, the anonymous. Ployni Almoini is anonymous. What's remarkable is that the Pasuk in Daniel, which talks about Bar Kokhba, also has the words Palmoini, which again talks about, it seems to be talking about the same kind of character. At any rate, I'm not going to go into the whole discussion, which is fascinating but complicated. I didn't manage to digest all of it. But he does go into this whole thing of Bar Kokhba and how they tried to push for the Geula, for the redemption in their own power. And that was, unfortunately, as we know, a failed attempt. He goes the whole thing about the snake, because we had before about Nihidon Nochosh Aleder, about the snake, and how Bar Kokhba, when he was standing in front of the armies, when they would hurl a missile, and it would come onto his knee, and the knee would kind of repel the missile, and would go fly back at the enemies. And that same knee, later, he's bitten by a snake at that same spot. And so he has a whole fascinating discussion about the idea of the Nochosh, etc. At any rate, so it looks like from the story of Rus that the option of the nearer, more aggressive Geula through the deeds of the Tachtonim of the Bnei Yisrael, saying we should get the Geula in our own merits, that seems to have been put to one side. It seems to have been shelved because it wasn't possible. He says that possibility was in its prime in the time of Chizkiyahu, and even then it didn't succeed because it wasn't so much goodness. And as a result, we're left to the other option, to the Goyal HaRochek, which is Boyos. And towards the end of the story, we have here after Boyos marries Rus. So you have in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in Pesuk Dalet Pasuk Yud Aleph. If you want to look inside, Vayomeru Kol Ha'om Asher Bashar. And the people there said that may Hashem give this woman who's come into your house, may she be like Rochel and Leah, that they both built as Beis Yisrael. They were the builders of the Jewish nation. You should be successful in Ephrasa, and you should become well known, or however you translate this, in Beis Lechem. Ephrasa refers to Ephraim. Beis Lechem Yehuda refers to Yehuda. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. If there is a price of suffering, the Rebbe said many times, L'sokun pamayim tzora, and any price has been paid already. But you have the Mashiach ben Yosef, who is the character, who is the suffering servant described in Yeshaya, is referring to Mashiach ben Yosef, where you have a man suffering and bearing the sin for the generation, for the generations. And then after that comes the Mashiach ben David. And this is what is, in other words, the Goyol HaKorev, to push the Goyol in our own merit, that seems to have been not possible. And therefore we're back to waiting for Hashem to bring the Geula. But then what about the opposite of merit? How to settle that? So that's where Moshiach ben Yosef comes in. And this is possibly... You know what? They stole it. They stole it from Yeshaya. The suffering servant is a passage in Yeshaya.
Well, you say Ben
Mashiach is also, they also use
it. How did you say Ben Yosef?
It's all in a shire. What can I do? If they stole it, they stole it.
It's like that.
That's where it comes from. Actually, I must tell you, today we're ending Rambam, yeah, the cycle of Rambam. And the second last chapter of Rambam, he talks about the paths being paved for Moshiach. And he says, Yeshua, the Nazarite, and the other one, the Muslim, in other words, referring to Muhammad, they also paved the way for Moshiach. How so? Because before, all the Goyim were just pagans. They were worshipping stones and images. Then came along these people, and they somehow spread the word in the idea of monotheism, believing in one God, rather than worshipping, rather than the pagan beliefs from before. Then there will come a time when Moshiach will come. So then all of these nations who are now exposed to the concept of monotheism, albeit in a confused way, they will then realize, aha, we were misled in the details, but we now realize this is what we've been taught all the way. This is the real truth of the story which we've been taught the whole time. Okay? That's in the Rambam which we are actually studying today, the second last chapter of the Rambam. Let me just finish off, yeah? And so, possibly, what he's saying, what the Pesuk is saying, Asichayel be'Ephraso, that the Ephraim, Moshiach ben Yosef from Ephraim, that should complete its job, and we'll cross shame to this lock, and let there be the publicity, let's see the Moshiach ben David should come out and be revealed. Now, the obvious question which bothered me after having gone through this, which I find absolutely fascinating, is what is the message which we go away from, which you go away with from this? Because here he seems to be saying a little bit step back. Now, that's why I thought it was important to share with you the history. What the Rebbe, you ask the question, what was the Rebbe saying then? What's the Rebbe saying about our period? What the Rebbe is saying is that Kol Kol HaKitzim, he's talking about there's the close or there's the later. The later also has a time when it's the later time. And what the Rebbe is saying, that later time is ready now. Hegias Man Gulaskan. So we're not talking about pushing the Geula earlier than its time. We're talking about that now is already the time of the Geula. And what the Rebbe is saying, for example, one of his most significant things, which he pointed to, was the Iron Curtain. The communists, which, until then, throughout history, there have been nations suppressing Yidden doing Torah mitzvahs. And that continued until Tav Shin Nun. Till the downfall, the Iron Curtain comes down, you still had repression of Yiddish, a practice of Yiddishkeit. Now there is none, practically. But nothing serious. And that the Rebbe sees as a symbol, as a marker, as an indication that the Zman HaGeula is here. So therefore what the Rebbe is saying is, I'm not telling you, I don't think that ever said, like this prophet, self-proclaimed prophet, who says fast, and he doesn't, the Rebbe didn't take that aggressive approach. He never said fast to bring Moshiach, as far as I know. I don't remember that. What you hear the Rebbe saying is open up your eyes. What he's saying is, we're here already, the time is here, and what we need to do is open up our eyes, which means to, instead of looking at the world around us in a godless mentality, we should view this as, in its real state, it's actually the Zman HaGeula, and that is the way of bringing the that we should be Zeuchet the Geula, in the literal sense, the B'yas HaMashiach.
Because it refers to the fact is, all over the world, one is stopping the Jews from practicing Yiddishkeit.
Pardon?
Because all over the world,
there is no obstacle.
That the suffering, physical suffering, is not important.
Of course it's important, but Rebbe is saying Moshiach is here, but you have to open up his eyes. He hasn't said we've been redeemed. He's saying that the time is now, and it's the opportune time, and it is here. It's not as if you have to create something. Everything is in place, and it just has to be exposed.
Well, what are you supposed to do?
We have to look around, and we look at ourselves, and look around, and be live in a way that our true existence is not just for the physical. Our true existence is about serving Hashem. It can be more spiritual in being kind to other people. In other words,
it's more responsible. Yeah. So what about that? They say he carry the doors, the gates.
Shimshin. Yes, you want to say something, sir.
I've got a little tiny book about Muhammad.
Really?
And if you read it,
I wouldn't read
it. My book, see you wrong.
I might be, but
I
still
don't mean anything because it's wrong. No harm reading it.
Of course there is.
Because they think it's the same as you.
So let the goyim read it. I don't have to read it.
Not goyim, it's half your brother.
Can I ask a question?
I've got four brothers I have to worry about.
Now you've got another one.
One more question.
Although it's technical, why did the children only marry Ruth and Orpah?
They were not Jewish because they were Jewish already. They had the Torah and
all that. Obviously, when they married Orpah and Ruth, they must have gone through some kind of acceptance of Yiddishkeit, but there was no best in there. There was no best, and they went to their Moya. So.
But because they were in Galus. Is
that
because you were in
Galus? Yeah. Well, all right, listen, the halacha side of it is a bit of a problem.
So, you see, Rabbi,